You got your word. I want to go to the word this morning. As we prepare our hearts for the word this morning, I want you to go to Ephesians. I want you to go to chapter 5. But also we're going to be looking at some of Paul's writing to the church in Corinth as well in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13. And most of you know that love chapter. We're going to talk about that towards the end of the message. But I just want to get your attention just for a few moments. I have a message on my heart I want to, I feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to hear. But before we get to that word, make sure that you take advantage of our Vacation Bible School. How many are excited about Vacation Bible School around here? One more time. How many are excited about Vacation Bible School around here? I know you guys are. Help us get the word out, guys. We got to get the word out. We only got this week is our last week to get the word out. So, you know, these guys worked so hard, hours and hours and hours. I mean, this started way back at the first of the year, building these dinosaurs and all the things that go into all the props and things they're making for that next week. So this week is, we've got this week, and I need your help, okay? Everybody in the house, I want you to take some flyers with you on the way out. We've got plenty, we'll print more. We've got some yard signs this year. We got plenty of yard signs. I think we ordered 50 or 60 of those things. Please take one or two with you and help us put them around in your community, in your yard. Put them where you don't think somebody will take, even if there's a chance of taking them away, it's better to get forgiveness later than permission first. We'll address it that way. So just try to put them out there. Get the word out about Vacation Bible School. Invite people in stores. If you have a business that you can put some flyers in a public space where maybe a break room or a bulletin board, please help us do that. If you will help us do that this week, just raise your hand. I'll help you, Pastor Steve. Get the word out about VBS. Come on, everybody's hand should go up right then and there. I'll help you. Yes, help us. Help us reach young people for the Lord. In Vacation Bible School, it's more than, around here, it's more than punch and cookies, believe me. I always looked forward to Vacation Bible School when I was a kid, growing up in this neighborhood. Before I knew about First Assembly, we would go to a different one. And the main thing, man, I loved the punch and cookies, but also learned about Jesus in those places and learned about his word. And so you can be guaranteed that your child is going to learn the word of God at Vacation Bible School here at Rock Hill First. So please take advantage of that. Help us get the word out, okay? When we were boys, my brother and I, Scott, he's a little bit younger than I, about 5 years younger than me, but we were like inseparable. We played together all the time. We played games. We played whatever sport there was in season. We were playing that sport. We were hanging out and having a good time. And as most good brothers do, most of those times hanging out together would end in what? A fight or a scuffle or an argument or something would happen. We had this one game we'd play. Some of you might remember this one or not, but we'd be in a car riding and Mom would be driving, and we would pick cars. Like, we'd pick a car like we really liked. Like, I picked that car. If we see it, we really like it. Anybody ever played that game before? Just pick, nobody? Some of you? Yeah. You just pick a car. It's like if I saw a Corvette or a Mustang or something like that. You know, I love the classic cars. And I would, that's my car. And Scott would say, no, I saw it first. And before long, we'd be in an argument in the back seat. We'd be slinging, you know. And like football, we'd be in the front yard playing football, having a great time. And all of a sudden, I made a touchdown. No, you didn't. The ball's down right here. Or you went out of bounds. And we'd start scuffing in the front yard about the football game. I remember one time he got so mad at me. And if he's watching, I love you, Scott, because he watches us online. But he got so mad at me, he cussed out loud. And Mom, we didn't cuss in our house. And he cussed. He was cussing mad. You ever been cussing mad before? So he did that. He cussed at me, and Mom was out. She heard had the window open. It was summertime, and she heard him say that. And man, he knew. He turned and saw that she had heard him, and his face turned white, and he began to cry. Mom, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And she said, boy, go pick out your own hickory stick. You guys ever picked out your own hickory switch before? You know what I'm talking about. You was raised in the same home. You know my mom. But my grandma would say the same thing. I'd go out to this one bush that I knew that was really, it wasn't firm switches at all. It was really soft switches. And that's the one I'd pick out for myself. But anyway, it was that way. We were just always tangling up with one another. And we were just always in a place where we were happy, we were having a good time, but we would also get in this place where we were divisive. It was time that, we had to find unity and find healing in that. I've been talking the last few weeks about us growing in the Lord. How many want to grow in God? How many want to move of the Holy Spirit in this house? We are hungry for that. And the Holy Spirit's brought me to a place now this morning, and this is a now word for us, and I want you to get this in your heart. You guys ready for the word this morning? The Holy Spirit's saying that you've identified the problems in the church. And this is something that I followed also in the track that I watched Paul, the Apostle Paul, how he dealt with his church, how he dealt with the churches that his pastor. He comes from a pastoral heart. He comes from a church planter's heart. He comes from a fatherly heart. And he's saying to his churches, he's talking to the church in Galatia and also in Ephesus, in Corinth, and he's approaching these issues that are divisive, in their homes and divisive in their communities. And he's approaching these. And one of the things he does is he identifies them. And so we've been identifying. Let me recap just a little bit. When I talked a couple weeks ago about we raised the Christian flag and we declared that we're going to stand firm in Christ. Amen? It's not time for retreat, but it's time for charging the hill. And so as we call those things out, as we call the lack out, as we call the things out that we know that God wants us to confront, then we charge the hill. And I'm asking for you, I'm asking for this body, for this community, to charge the hill with us. Charge the hill and face the enemy head on. You know that you have authority in the name of Jesus to confront the enemy head on, face to face. Punch him, neck punch in the throat. You can do that in the name of Jesus because he's done that for us. Attack what? What do you mean by attacking something, Pastor Steve? We got to attack our lack of prayer. Remember, we brought out some of the lack that we're sensing in the Holy Spirit showing us. We got to attack the lack of prayer in this house. We got to attack the lack of faith in this house. Amen? We got to attack the lack of trust in this house. We got to attack the lack of knowledge of the Word of God. So how do we do that? Well, to attack the lack of prayer, what do we got to do? We got to pray more, right? It's easy. To attack the lack of faith and trust, what do we got to do? We got to have faith and trust in God. We got to increase our faith by seeing more of Jesus. And I've learned in my life that the closer I get to Jesus, the more I learn of him, the bigger I realize he really is, the more powerful he is. I've got to study his word so that I become a student of the scriptures and I know the power of God. Hello?
Division is usually... Check out number one. It's really important.
I want you guys to get this morning. Hello, hello? We got number one. We're going to get there. In Jesus' name. Hello? Hello? There we go. Division or a lack of unity, a division or disunity, a lack of peace. When there's division, there's a lack of peace. Amen? If you have a brother, you have a brother or a sister, and you guys experience some of the same things I did growing up, you know, real quickly that place of peace and quiet can just be ransacked in a minute. It can change, right? You parents and grandparents know what I'm talking about. When there's disunity, it goes from peace to lack of peace. And the key reason for division in most cases is this, and I want you to get this morning. The key reason for division in most cases is because there's a fear of losing something. When there's division in the heart, there's a fear of losing something. Think about it for a moment. You may not know someone from Adam, and you're out on the highway driving, and somebody cuts you off, and for some reason, you don't even know who they are, but they have become your nemesis. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, they cut you off, and all of a sudden, they're your enemy. So why is that? Because you lost something. You thought you had the right of way, and they cut you off and got in front of you. Now they're ahead of you. You no longer have the lead, and they cut you off. And so what you thought you had, you lost. And what is the human reaction to that is, I want revenge. I want to get back and maybe speed up and get back around them. Hello, is anybody with me on that? And some of you, there might be even a loud comment in the car or a whisper. You say choice words about that person. Has anybody ever done that before? And you usually say, they don't know how to drive. Or they drive like a bozo. Sometimes that comes out. I don't mean for it to say, I'm going to be transparent with you. So much so, choice words, and usually the comment is that they don't know how to drive. Why? It's because you lost something you had. You thought you had the right of way, and now they're leading. Do you think about most war that has happened in our world. War is about fear of losing something. It's the fear of losing power, control, or influence, or the gain of that. The recent Roe versus Wade reversal. There's a struggle in our country, and we're divided because there is this fear of losing rights versus gaining of an unborn child's rights. There's this tension that we feel. There's this tension with gun laws and revamping that because of the tragedies that have happened in our nation, in our society. We're at a crossroads, and it's a fear of losing something. It's division because we're afraid of losing something. And too many times in the church, I'm sad to say that 9 times out of 10, division comes as a result of the fear of losing either power or influence or control. Interestingly, though, the church is not ours to start with. It's God's church. It's not about power or control or influence or how I can get my way or not my way. It's God's house and God leading us and God setting in authority and places and people in places that lead us towards the things of God and how he wants to have our community. Amen? It's God's house. And this is where the Apostle Paul was addressing the issues in the church. He's talking about, remember the church we opened up a couple weeks ago, the church in Galatia, where he's talking about this circumcision issue the Jews are bringing out. And they're saying you have to be circumcised if you want to be part of the way or the Christian society. You have to be circumcised. And Paul says, if you follow the law, you have to live under the law. And if you do that, you abolish the works of Christ. And he dealt with that. In Corinth, Paul pastorally, fatherly addresses the issues of abuse over taking communion together, over taking the supper together. And he gives these household codes, if you will, to the church, the body. Because early in, we see the story there when Paul's opening this up, division in the house, because there was abuse over communion and supper. When they would come together, the elite, if you will, in the community would come earlier in the day, and they would take part in the choice morsels of that dinner together, that supper. Their communion was more of a supper together. And they would have the choice meats and the choice fruit. And the servants that were in the same community, many of them would serve in the same homes as the elite, would come later in the day, and there would be any food left, or there would be leftovers, if you will, or less things for them to have. And Paul said that's an atrocity in the house of God. And he pushed for equality. He pushed for healing. He pushed for unity in the house, and he spoke to that. And I want us to open up. You've got your word, and I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we're going to walk through this a little bit. In chapter 13, are you there? Say, praise the Lord. In chapter 12, he's addressing unity and diversity in the body. And in chapter 13, he says, yet now I'm going to show you the most excellent way. And I'm going to take time just to read through this. And I believe we have it on the monitor for you as well. But if we don't, just look in your word on your electronic device in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Y'all see that with me? Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Could y'all underline that in your word? Or highlight that somehow? Circle that in your word. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. And in verse 8, it says, love never fails. Circle that one, if you will. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. And where there are tongues, they will be stilled. For where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what it in part disappears. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now, we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. In verse 13, I want you to highlight this, underline this in your word. And now these three things remain. You guys say it with me. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? So what do? We've addressed some of the lack in the house. And the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart this week as I was preparing for this word, and even confirmed it this morning in our prayer time together and beforehand, is that now it's, as you have identified those things, now it's time to move forward. Everybody say move forward. And attack the lack. Attack the lack. Can I just use that? Attack the lack. Drive a Cadillac. Don't, all that. Don't, I'm not going there, but I'm saying attack the lack. Everybody say attack the lack. Attack the lack. And whatever that lack is, we're going to be proactive in attacking that. If in my life I want to grow and I want to move of God and there's a lack of prayer in my life, then I'm not going to sit by the sidelines and watch other people pray. I'm going to lean in and start praying. If we have an environment, and the Holy Spirit's spoken to my heart about this, you want me to move in this church? He said, I will move in the way that I will move. You will not have to push that, but I will draw men unto me. All I want you to do is create the environments for me to work. Is that okay? And that's where I'm at. I'm like, Lord, we're going to create the environments for you to do what you want to do in this house and in this community. Because I want, more than anything, I want a move of God in this place. I want God to have his way in this house. Amen? Is anybody with me this morning? Come on. I want a move of God in this place. And I want God to have his way in this house. And he said, I'm going to do that as well. He wants that for us. He wants to move on us. As a matter of fact, his presence is here. What he's wanting us to do is wake up. And the closer we get to him, the more we get to hear him, the more we lean into his word, the more we begin to pray, the more we begin to study, then the more we see God really is here. His presence is already here, and he's making us more aware of who he is. You see, I don't feel like it's a measure of how much God we have. Oh, we want a move of God so that we need more God. No, God is God. He is sovereign. He is who he is. He says he is. He is complete. He is whole. And so when we ask for the presence of God in this place, we have all of God here. But it depends on us, on how sensitive we are to his presence. You don't sense God. You feel God's far away from you. It's not God's fault. You feel God's abandoned you. It's not God's fault. Let's stop blaming God. And so we call it for what it is. And so we identify it. And what I'm asking us to do, and the Holy Spirit is leading us to do, is attack those areas of lack. And Paul spells it out. Now I want you to go to Ephesians. He's speaking to the church in Ephesus, and I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 4. I want us to begin in verse 17, and I want to see how Paul addresses the lack. And this is what he says for us to do as a body, and it's really important you follow along with me in this word, because this is the now word the Lord's given me in verse 17. If you guys are there, say praise the Lord. Okay, I want you to go with me. That's fine. If you're not ready, stay right there. Let me know when you're ready. We're going to go together. We ready? All right. All right, Gerard, thank you. Verse 17. So I tell you this. Insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Is this ringing true in anybody's heart this morning? I was like, Lord, thank you for this word. Paul's challenging and creating this place of caution for the church. And it reverberates in my heart for this hour we're in. The hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity because of the hardening, that they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you've learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That is the part where you grow. Everybody say grow. That I wrote grow beside on the sideline of my word here. I'm going to read that one more time, verse 24. And to put on the new self. Everybody say new self. New self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. If you're angry, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their hands that they might have something to share with those in need. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come from out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Here is the caution that Paul says. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God because of these other actions he's saying. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And what does he encourage us with in verse 32? Read it out loud with me, if you will, the NIV. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and it right here, and walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God, walk in the way of love. Say it with me. Walk in the way of love. Romans 12:9 says this. Love must be sincere. If you're going to walk in the way of love, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. If you're going to walk in the way of love, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. It's the word of God for the people of God in the season that we're in right now at Rock Hill First. And I don't know where that lands for you, but it's a challenge in my heart. Because God wants to change us, change me, change you. He wants to grow us.